got it better than us!
No! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our next guest is brought to you, as always, by Spherion Staffing. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online at spherion.com/Utah. That's spherion.com, spherion.com/Utah. He is my co-host for Jazz Pre, Half, and Post. Longtime college coach as well. He's our good friend Tim Lacombe. What's going on, Tim?
First time listener, long time caller. Great to be on.
Sarah finally let you through.
Yeah, Sarah, I've been trying every week. Bonus points to either of you if you know the name of the artist who produced the song that we were brought into.
Oh, I have no idea.
Who was it?
Bon Jovi.
Oh, well, yeah.
A little Runaway.
That guy.
1984.
He produced it, or
well, I mean, you know.
Oh, okay. I was scrambling to think of famous producers. Who's that guy who made Michael Jackson famous?
Oh, Quincy Jones. Sorry, I meant
Quincy Jones.
Yeah. I meant sang it, brought it to the world.
I was like, who produced it? That's deep.
Real deep cut.
That's deep.
Sorry, yeah, it's Monday. I'm just getting my tongue straight here so I can speak for the week.
So coming up on Friday, it's basically going to be a showdown between me. And you and Ben, when 2-seed Creighton takes on, or 2-seed Tennessee takes on 3-seed Creighton. You and Ben have Creighton going. I've got Tennessee winning. Ben's got UConn, but he's got Creighton in the finals. So it's a little competition between us three.
Yeah, and we dodged a bullet. I was fully expecting a text from Ben down the stretch saying, hey, thanks a lot for the Creighton advice. But, you know, our guy Stephen Ashworth, the local Utah guy, made a couple big shots, and Creighton found themselves. But they are right there on the verge. I do like that. Typically, a team that goes a long way is tested pretty seriously and finds their way through. So that could bode well for my pick. But the rest of my bracket is completely thrashed.
It's interesting to look at who is winning right now in the tournament. Because I can pull up the top 10 picks in the latest mock draft from ESPN. Rob Dillingham, the guard from Kentucky, and Reed Shepard are both projected in the top seven. They were awful in their first game. I mean, as bad as they've played all season together and got eliminated. Cody Williams is projected to the Jazz right now. I know a lot of Jazz fans would like that, the kid from Colorado, but they also just got ousted, even though he played okay. There are just not these one-and-done kids dominating college basketball, and they're not winning at the highest level. It is a lot of these Tyler Colex, Zach Edey. It's a lot of these older kids and these older teams that are getting back to winning. And you know what? I think it's made the product better. These are really good, fun games to watch because you've got upperclassmen who know how to play the game.
Yeah, I was telling David the other night, David Locke, you know, just watching college exclusively for so long and not seeing much of the NBA, only in pieces when I could, and then shift to where I'm watching the NBA like three or four times a week with my good friend Jake. And, you know, going back to watch the college game, I do believe the college game has gotten better, and I do think it's probably experience. Guys understanding spacing, understanding time and score, understanding what a good shot is. I mean, teams still and players still get caught up in the moment, but there's no doubt, like, watching these games has been, you know, shooting isn't always – that's always the one thing that kind of comes and goes, but – I agree with you, Ben. I think they're better games to watch.
Good for Utah State for winning a game. You and I both thought that they would be competitive against Purdue. That turned out to be incorrect. And now today, they're looking for a new coach, as Ryan Odom's on his way to Washington. So your thoughts on the Aggies' performance, or what did I say? Danny Sprinkle is what I meant. Ryan Odom. Well, they're playing Utah, so I've got Ryan Odom on the
brain.
But Danny Sprinkle's leaving for Washington. So thoughts on Utah State's performance and now looking for a new coach?
Well, they had a magical year, and, you know, it's always hard to lose, but it's always really hard to get just completely get the doors blown off. It was one of those games where, I mean, I watch games all day long, and the officiating is so vastly different game to game. Like, I watched the Colorado-Marquette game, and they might as well have handed out boxing gloves because it was just a fist fight. And, like, 3 minutes to go in the second half, and Colorado had to foul three times to get to the bonus. You know, it was – and then I turned on the Utah State game. I mean, the very first play, Utah State gets a what looks to be a jump ball, but the officials call a foul, and it kind of just set that game into a foul spin for Utah State, and they had – all their big guys had fouls, you know. And it's just – when you're trying to guard that big dude and you can't breathe on him, it's tough. So, first of all, like, season was great. Yesterday was brutal. Today's even more brutal, you know, for Utah State fans because they're you know, they enjoyed the year, but it was almost like it was an Airbnb, you know, that you had 9 months in, and now you got to pack your bags and get out and go find something else. And so there is what I have heard on the ground is a couple of things. I think they're going to move pretty quickly. You know, I think this deal with Sprinkle's been in motion for, you know, a couple of weeks. I've heard it, but I didn't, you know, I didn't want to put a cast anything disparaging on their run, but it was definitely out there that it was pretty much done. I think most importantly now they got to get somebody in place so they don't end up in the same situation as last year.
Can we talk some Jazz basketball? Are we okay moving on from college?
For sure.
This has been really hard to watch. And
I was going to say, do we have to?
I mean, I don't think the players are having fun. I don't hear any fun in Will Hardy's voice when he's talking. And look, you're losing. You're not supposed to be having fun. But this is beyond, hey, we're trying to get to the end of the season and we get that there's draft pick involved and that's all part of it. This feels harder than that. Do you get that feeling that this is maybe worse than it had to be?
I don't know necessarily, you know, I don't know the inner workings, but I do know it's been hard. And I think it's been hard for everybody. Just the last couple of games, particularly, you know, Jake and I are in there trying to, you know, pick up anything we can, any kind of nuance that we see, but obviously it's hard. I mean, five in a row now the Jazz have lost, you know, and I looked at the schedule today going forward and I just, you know, there's not a lot of wins on it to me. I think obviously San Antonio comes in here Wednesday night. The Rockets come in Friday, but beyond that, you know, it's going to be tough. So I think it's just everybody's got to stay the course. I think at this point, I think decisions have been made. And so, like, we've got 11 games left, and it is what it is. But hopefully, you know, the time has been good for the young guys, because I think that above all else is probably the you know, the one piece that has some promise, because there's certainly a lot of time attached to these guys, you know, in the organization.
Speaking of the Rockets, do you think they catch the Warriors for that last play-in spot?
You know what, it sounds as though, like, I heard Steve Kerr's comments over the weekend and, you know, castigating not necessarily individual players, but the team generally for, you know, just lack of awareness, hustle, stuff like that. I think the Rockets are certainly playing better basketball at this point. And I think that, you know, what we saw the other night, I mean, really, if Şengün could make it back, and I don't know if he will, but like Jalen Green's on a heater right now. He's playing the best I've ever seen him play. And I love Van Vliet, and I love his competitiveness. You could feel it in that game the other night. I think they do catch him, honestly. They've won eight in a row, and the Warriors have lost a couple in a row, and they're not playing great basketball. So that would be my pick at this point. But again, you look at my bracket first before you make any major decisions.
I mean, it's something though. Like, I think 9 of Golden State's next 10 games or 8 of their next 9 are on the road. Like, it's just crazy what they have to do. I tweeted this out yesterday. I looked at the rest of the Jazz schedule. There's a real chance Wednesday is their last chance to get a victory. Every other team they're playing is fighting for the 8th seed, the 10th seed to make the play-in, or to avoid the 6th seed, or to get home court advantage in the first round. It's just like, it is crazy. The Jazz just never felt like they got an easy stretch of schedule, other than maybe when they played all those good teams that were missing players. But it's just been really difficult for the Jazz. So what can you take from a team? I know you talked about the young players a little bit, but if you lose 10 of the next 11, or maybe 11 of the next 11, and you've already lost 3 of your last 19, or 16 of your last 19, like, how does that trail into the offseason, and can you wash that off before next year?
I think you can. I mean, it's never been, you know, a part of the organization here, you know, but I think you can. I think everybody is well aware of the situation the Jazz are in. And I think when the trade deadline came and went and the moves that were made, you know, I think it really did kind of designate what the rest of the year was going to be like. So, like anything, you know, one day I remember I was a young missionary in Boston, Massachusetts. I was sitting at a train station early one morning, and I'd always try to check any kind of newspaper that was hanging around just to see what was going on in the world. You know, the Boston Globe oftentimes would, a remnant copy would be sitting there. And I remember this particular day was really windy, and just out of a movie, right down the track came this newspaper in about 700 pieces, you know, and it just kind of blew by. I sat there and it just blew by. And I thought, man, that's a great example of how everything in our life, you know, everything seems messy and out of place. But if you give it time, you know, it blows down the tracks and it's out of your sight and out of your mind. And I think that that's probably what this will be.
So if I were to ask you to put odds on it, or however you want to measure it, what's your confidence level in Denver being the best team in the West, or coming out of the West, I should say?
Oh, man, I'm like, if I had 10, you know, 10 shekels, I'd probably put 9 of the 10 on that. Because I think when you look at it, who they're battling, certainly the Thunder are exciting, but they're young. And you know the history of this league, typically you got to kind of get your way through and into the playoffs and work your way through. So I'd be surprised there. The T-Wolves, they stand out a little bit. And I know people are quick to dismiss them because all people will just do what they did to Rudy in the playoffs. But I think you have to look at his running mates. You know, when you're talking about a guy like McDaniels or Anthony Edwards plays with such force, I think it's just a different combination. I do believe that they've got a good shot, but I'm not ready to crown them anything yet till they do it. And then the Clippers, obviously pretty young, pretty old and a lot of experience. So with the right matchups, you know, possibly. But again, I just think that the entire West is trying to do what the Nuggets are doing. And I just think at the end of the day, they're going to do it again.
I have a bit of a running joke with a mutual friend of ours, and I tell her every time I see her, I think the Milwaukee Bucks have figured it out, and then they will lose by 35 points to the Golden State Warriors on the road. And then I say, okay, no, they're never going to figure it out. It just doesn't feel right. And then they will just blast the Oklahoma City Thunder, 118-93. I mean, just blast them and look like, oh, yeah, Giannis is the second best player in the NBA. Dame can still do Dame things. They actually have pretty good veteran depth. They're talented. And when Chris Middleton's out there, they're a completely different team. So if we're going back to your 10 shekels and everyone expecting the Boston Celtics, how many would you put on Milwaukee to get out of the East?
0.
No faith.
No faith. Mm-mm. I just, you know, again, you said all the right things. And I mean, that made me, but at the end of the day, they just don't guard. They just don't guard good enough. And, you know, and what the Celtics could do to them in a series, spacing them out, spreading them out, attacking them, I just don't think it can happen. I mean, if somebody were to knock off the Celtics, but even then, you know, I just think I would probably put my shekels on the Knicks, to be honest with you. You know, any kind of spare ones, majority on the Celtics, but I'd probably take a flyer on the Knicks if I'm taking a flyer on anybody.
Coach, you are the best. Thank you for coming on, and I will see you tonight, buddy.
Yeah, excited to see you tonight.
Oh, I can't wait to see you guys, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
As long as Ben doesn't take shots in the media room, that always hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
our feelings.
It's cold out. We'll see what you guys wear.
Hey, dress at your own peril, right?
Thank you, Tim.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
That's our good friend Tim Lacombe. His appearance on the show is brought to you by Spherion Staffing. I don't think the Damian Lillard was a good move for Milwaukee. I didn't believe in the Bucks after that move. He's not what they were lacking.
I did believe in the move because Dame was coming off arguably, I mean, his best statistical season last year. Now, they were a terrible basketball team in Portland, but he was still playing as the closest thing to Steph Curry we've seen, the not named Steph Curry. And I thought, well, you know, 90% of Steph or 85% of Steph next to Giannis Antetokounmpo is a pretty darn dangerous combo. And I still think they're very dangerous, and I still think they're going to make the conference finals, but they could lose to Boston in four.
See, Steph's never been on a team where he wasn't the one you didn't, well, wasn't the number one shooting option.
Right.
Dame was never going to be the number one shooting option on the Bucks.
Sure. He still is a lot of games where he's taken 14 shots where he's used to taking 20 to 25.
Every shot he takes is a shot that Giannis isn't taking. And yeah, he's taking a haircut. Because of course he's going to take a haircut. Yep. He's not the number one option on the team. I mean, Milwaukee was not missing a number one option. That's not why they didn't win the title. Depth was their issue.
They really are a bad half-court offensive team and have been for a while because as good as Giannis is, it's weird to just give him the ball sometimes and be like, yeah, just go ISO, because that's not doesn't work that well for them. And Drew wasn't that good at that, which is why they traded Drew. The hard thing for them was that Drew bounced off of Portland and ended up with their number one rival, yeah. Who's well, maybe Drew, the best equipped player to defend Dame in the entire league.
But Drew was willing to guard. You know what they needed?
Absolutely,
they
yeah.
needed another Chris Middleton.
Yeah, they did.
He's actually the perfect piece for them when he plays, but he's so not reliable over the past two or three years. They needed another one of that guy.
Yep.
They needed a guy who's going to knock down open shots, because how do you stop Giannis? Well, you guard him with four players.
Yeah. And again, Dame makes sense in that. You can't leave Dame. Dame will kill you if you leave him.
Except for he's not a spot-up shooter. He's dribbling into shots. He's not that.
We will see.
And he's not going to put up with that, by the way. He's not going to play Chris Middleton's role. That's not what makes him good.
I'll be really curious what they look like in the playoffs. I'm very excited for the playoffs to come. I'm ready for the regular season to be over, even though these are great regular season games because so many teams are fighting for things. But playoffs are going
to
be fun.
In hindsight, Damian should have gone to the Lakers. And here's what, like 2 years ago, not this year.
Yeah.
But he should have gone to the Lakers because he needs to play with a player who just wants to take turns with possessions. And LeBron, at this point in his career, just wants to take possessions off.
Yeah.
That's why you see Anthony Davis dominates first halves. Did I say that right? First halves?
First half.
Because LeBron doesn't have any interest in playing in the first half.
Yeah.
And then the second half, Anthony Davis disappears because LeBron's like, all right, well, let's Papa's going to bring us home. You know, Dame needed to play with, even somebody like the Suns where Kevin Durant's interested in taking possessions off. That's not Giannis.
No. And I don't even know if he would have worked in Miami, to be honest with you.
I don't think that would have worked either.
That team is so egalitarian.
Yeah, and then Damian Lillard is not special when he's only taken 14 shots.
Right. One of his skills, I think you're right, is that he can be an offense unto his own.
Yeah, and that's not what Milwaukee needed.
Yeah. It's the Trae Young blessing and the curse.
Right. Well, it's why Dame's never going to win a title unless he does it in a bench role when he's 38.
Yeah.
because he's not good enough to win a title playing like that. But that's what makes him special. It's why the people were wrong when they said, oh, they'll make Jimmer into an NBA point guard. No, because that's not what made Jimmer special.
Yeah. And Dame just might be too expensive ever to be a 38-year-old coming off the bench.
Correct.
That's the real curse of it. It's the real white elephant of Dame Lillard.
Yeah, because this contract doesn't end until he's 40, right?
You'd love to have him, and he's so expensive to take care of, you can't win with anything around him.
I never
It's this year or next for Milwaukee, and it really might just be this year.
I never liked that move for them. And they're further away after making it.
Yeah. I mean, they got eliminated in the first round last year, but that was a little bit fluky.
Jimmy Butler going crazy, and
they got rattled.
And then they overreacted.
Yep, they probably did.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. More next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you about America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Ben, I wouldn't call myself a Jim Harbaugh fan. I think he's kind of a psycho, and we don't need to dwell on this necessarily, but I do think he is funny.
I love Jim Harbaugh. He's great for the game.
I think he is funny. Do you remember? He's still throwing around the born on third base crack that he you remember when he said that about Ryan Smith, Ryan Day, the head coach at, not Ryan Smith.
Wow, who was
I'm
not
bad
born
with,
on third base.
I guess
compared all of us born in Utah, healthy, maybe technically we're all on third base, but not the way he's talking about it.
So Jim Harbaugh, who's now the head coach of the Chargers, had this quote over the weekend, quote, "Everyone in that building, no one was born on third base. Everyone had to work their way to first," unquote. Still taking shots at Ryan Day.
Was Jim Harbaugh's dad a very famous coach?
Which makes it ironic, yes. He's a Nepo baby himself.
He's the most Nepo of babies. And good for him. He turned into a quarterback and played and made the NFL. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. You know, that doesn't mean you don't work hard, but...
He actually, too, if he were to have an argument to ditch the Nepo baby thing, you point out his playing career, but he also started coaching at San Diego.
Yeah.
Not San Diego State, but the Toreros of San Diego. And then he made Stanford into a thing. So I'd say, what's his name? The head coach of the Niners is way more of a Nepo baby than Jim Harbaugh.
No, he's had the Midas touch. Where he goes, they win. Even Michigan, when it looked like, oh, man, they got to move on from this dude, the next two years they took off, and then they won a title.
Yeah, because he's a psycho.
He's a psycho.
But, see, he wears thin. That's why he'll be with the Chargers for, 3 years, and then he'll be gone. Michigan is the example of he stayed and won the long term because they couldn't fire him. You can't fire he's the
until
a Michigan
the NCAA
legend.
Yeah. Allegations caught up to
right.
him.
Then they could fire him for that, but they couldn't fire him 2 years ago. Because he's
all they just fired Juwan Howard. He's a legend too, right?
But he doesn't. He didn't have near the resume Jim Harbaugh does. Jim Harbaugh has proven he can coach. Juwan Howard has not.
Also, apparently abusive to coaches and players, allegedly.
You mean the guy that punched the assistant coach for Wisconsin was abusive behind the scenes?
Apparently, he was slapping his son around. Jet Howard, who now got drafted in the lottery, he's like hitting him in practice. That's the rumor that's coming out from another assistant coach.
But no, I don't.
My
think
goodness,
comparing Juwan to Jim is really all
it's
that fair.
Yeah.
Because Jim's resume is way better than Juwan Howard's resume.
Juwan made an Elite Eight with other guys, another team's players, and his son.
He got hired because he is a Michigan legend. Jim Harbaugh, if he took Michigan as like his first job, but dude, if Stanford, do you remember how bad Stanford was for a long time?
I remember how
Jim
bad
Harbaugh,
they are now.
Yeah, they're terrible
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he was there and they were good. And Shaw kind of rode those coattails
for a while, though.
But he kind of landed the plane, and the plane never took off again.
Again, San Diego is where he started. But I do find it hilarious that he's still taking shots at Ryan Day. He must really, like, personally not like him.
You know what? Herb still takes shots at BYU. Herb's in town, right? This weekend? Wasn't he here for a coaching clinic?
He was.
Like,
I didn't watch any of the clips. Did he take a shot at
BYU? I don't know,
BYU?
But he has in the last couple of years. I mean, he'll go on Big Nude Saturday or whatever they call it on Fox.
I don't think
they'll take shots at the team down south.
I don't think Urban actually disliked Gary Croton, though.
Sure. Oh, no, he knew how to make an edge.
I think Jim Harbaugh actually dislikes Ryan Day.
Okay, I believe that.
Like, Kyle Whittingham actually disliked Bronco Mendenhall.
And vice versa. Those two should move into a house together. Do a reality show. Just try and get Whit and Bronco to figure it out.
I remember when Larry Kraskowiak, you find out that he actually disliked BYU when he canceled that,
yeah,
the series or whatever. And remember, Dave Rose was surprised.
Yeah,
Dave was like, I kind of like Larry.
Did Larry pay like $100,000?
Yeah, to get them out of the game, he did that personally. I forgot about that. Yeah, he
never
put
that
bill personally.
They will fire you still, Larry.
Oh, I forgot about that. Now that's real dislike right there.
Yeah, that's something.
That's real dislike right there. But yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh actually dislikes Ryan Day, which I think is funny. You think he'll win with the Chargers? Or will the Chargers? See, now here is a great experiment, because we both think Jim Harbaugh knows what he's doing when it comes to coaching.
He won with the 49ers.
But the Chargers have terrible ownership. So here's going to be the concept. Can a good coach bail out terrible ownership? It doesn't happen very often.
Andy Reid's doing it right now with Kansas City.
You'd say the Kansas City has bad ownership?
I think they're like are consistently rated as the worst ownership in all of football. In
really?
All honesty, yeah,
I've
like,
never thought of them as having bad ownership.
Neither have I, but it's because they're so small market and because their owner isn't like a blatant slumlord or racist, which is usually when you hear about bad owners of like it's their outside lives that bring them in, not necessarily even what they do with their teams. Like Dolan's a terrible owner. Dolan's actually a bad owner with the Knicks, but like generally when you hear about bad owners, it's like, well, they're bad people who have made their money doing bad things. That doesn't even necessarily mean they're bad at owning their franchises.
Oh,
there
see,
are examples
I'm not,
of it.
Like,
but no,
I don't know about Kansas City, but I'm not thinking about bad behavior. Jim Dolan, take out his bad behavior, is terrible at owning a basketball team.
Right, he is.
Take out Dan Snyder's behavior, he was terrible at owning a football team. Like, I don't approve Jerry Jones's behavior.
Clark Hunt, graded out as the lowest ranking owner in the NFL Players Association survey.
Interesting.
So that's like the players. That's not, hey, fans hate him. That's like the players like, this guy's
but
awful.
The Spanoses are terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Right down to they should be playing in Vegas and the Raiders should be in L.A. It makes no sense that the Chargers are in L.A. instead of the Raiders. And by the way, that was the bad move. Because nobody cares about him in L.A. They'd be a juggernaut in Vegas. And the Raiders already own L.A. It made just too much sense. But the Spanoses have to be like, nope, we're going to L.A.
I don't totally understand what's going on in San Diego, other than I know they have bad ownership. But you have the quarterback, right? Like, you have a guy who's good enough, I think, to win. And they're, like, trading away Keenan Allen, right? Like, they're
well, they are
selling.
Now. Well, because Harbaugh's rebuilding.
He is. He's trying to get picks and et cetera, et cetera.
So they're doing that. They're doing that now, and they're cleaning up the books by chasing off Bosa, right, and all that. But they've had that before, though, Ben. Ryan Leaf, or not Ryan Leaf, go. They did draft Ryan Leaf. Way to go. Who am I thinking of? The guy with 15 kids.
55 kids.
From NC State.
I know
for
who
crying
you're talking
out
about.
Loud.
Yes, we all know who you're talking about. Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers was good enough to win a Super Bowl. He was a really good quarterback.
Yeah, he was a top 10 quarterback basically every time he stepped on the field his whole career, if not better.
And they sucked.
Yeah.
They had LaDainian Tomlinson.
The best running back of the last 25 years. Yeah.
And they somehow managed to suck. That's top-down stuff. Go ask Eric Weddle how he feels about the Spanoses.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't think positively. I don't want to speak for him, but I don't think real great. So can a good owner, like, can you think of who was coaching for the Suns when they made the finals under Sarver? Monty Williams?
Yeah.
And I think he's a pretty good coach. So coaching kind of outdid bad ownership. Can you think of, so Andy Reid is an example. I had no idea, but apparently it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Bad owners where good coaches have saved them.
Maybe most recently with the Lions. Because the drunken wing of the Ford family is not proven out to be a sure. very good ownership group.
No, you got to be all in line. You've got to have pretty good to above average ownership, front office, and coaching.
And to salvage maybe a Jazz conversation out of this is we're going to find out what kind of owner Ryan Smith is. And I think he's more than capable, so I'm not trying to make any waves necessarily. But he's a new owner, and he's inheriting a rebuilding situation. Like we're finding out what kind of owner Tillman Fertitta is in Houston.
And it's so fun, yeah.
Because you buy a team like Phoenix with Devin Booker, and then say, make Kevin Durant appear.
Yeah.
You know, like. I don't know if you're proving what kind of owner you are one way or the other, honestly. But if you're going through a rebuild and you have to run the franchise, keep it successful while rebuilding and make the right decisions and all that stuff, I think we'll find out, you know, how good he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure he'd tell you he's up to the challenge, but we'll find out.
Well, we know he's up to the challenge. I mean, he is doing things the way I would assume billionaires do things, which is he is all in. He is... Not all in, I'm going to go spend all of our draft picks to get Kevin Durant and ruin the franchise, which is what
no, but
Matt
all,
Ishbia did.
All in on doing it right.
Like, he fully sure. believes in what the Jazz are doing, and he's doing it this way, and I don't think he's meddling in it in a bad way, and everyone I've talked to, I've never heard that he's meddling in a bad way. And I know there are frustrated fans with the team, and they look at the major change, they say, well, Ryan Smith bought the team, and that's what changed with the Jazz, so I'm going to point the finger at him with it.
That is not true.
I agree with you. I don't think that's true. I understand that is how some fans feel, though. But this is a process that he believes in and the Jazz believe in. And you're right. The results will have to bear out before we can determine whether or not it was the right plan.
The
and
problem
that will determine
is,
whether you're a good owner or not.
The problem is James Dolan has said probably those exact same things, right? And he's been rebuilding since he bought the team 20 years ago.
Yeah. No, it's ownership is hard. Ownership
it is
really
hard.
And you know what?
It is hard. Is 100%
funny?
Is hard.
The best owners are the ones who inherit a bunch of luck. Like, notoriously, the Nuggets had really bad ownership. Really bad ownership. Were cheap, wouldn't spend a dime over, always made cost-cutting moves. Well, you draft Jokic in the second round, you look like a great owner.
You look like a genius.
You look like a genius. Wouldn't spend a penny over the cap. Notoriously made all these trades to get worse when they were kind of close.
That might be our answer. Phil Jackson.
Oh, yeah. That's the answer. Yes, absolutely.
With Reinsdorf.
Oh, and Ozzie Guillen. Like, Ozzie Guillen was a great baseball manager. Won a World Series for the worst owner in sports in the last decade because he not only has done it with one team, he's done it with two teams in a great sports city. Ruined the White Sox.
Doesn't he own the Blackhawks, too?
Does he own the Blackhawks also? No, they've won a bunch of titles.
I know they have. That's what I'm saying.
And ruined the Bulls.
I'm going to check.
That Jerry Reinsdorf. We need to run him out of town in Chicago. Opening day, Thursday. I think it's my White Sox year.
Do you?
No, they're going to lose like 100
games. Okay, it's not. No, he does not.
Okay, yeah, that would be too consistent. That'd
Danny
be too good.
Wirtz.
No, they're going to lose 110 games this year. This could be awful.
You're already coming in with that attitude, huh?
Oh, they're the worst team in baseball. It's horrendous.
Weren't they good like last year?
2 years ago, they went in as the second best odds to win the World Series.
What happened?
They hired Tony La Russa, who got a DUI the day he got hired.
Well, he was celebrating.
Driving to the event to announce he got hired.
Well,
77-year-old Tony La Russa got a DUI the day he got hired as the manager of the Chicago White Sox. And Reinsdorf said, I like this guy.
I like this guy.
I like the cut of his jib.
Man, just take a Lyft or an Uber, people. It's not that hard.
Don't hire 77-year-old Tony La Russa.
Who needs an eye-opener, apparently.
I mixed it with some pills.
That's a bad sign. All right, stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Number Jake and Ben Show, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. 50 segments are brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, real quick, on the way out the door, I have a thing for you, or a question for you, I guess. If you ever watch The Sopranos, Uncle Junior has a doctor who's just a terrible doctor, but his name's John Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
So Uncle Junior thinks he's getting great care, like he's the best doctor in the world.
Because of his name?
Because his name is John Kennedy. Did you know that the GM for the Denver Broncos' name is George Patton? Do you think that guy got that job just because of his name? Do you think that guy has gotten like more responsibility in life, like better jobs than he probably deserves ever because his name is George Patton?
The Waltons?
The Waltons.
Yeah.
You think the Waltons are like, oh, his name's George Patton. Hire that man.
Dwight Eisenhower?
Yeah, right. I bet you George Patton doesn't know anything about football.
Probably no relation.
He's the GM of the Broncos because his name is George Patton. Hey, we shouldn't hire this guy. He's got no experience. This other dude is way more experienced, years in front offices and everything. Yeah, but his name George Patton? He commands respect.
It's a pretty innocuous shared name to have. Again, there's the reporter whose name is Jerry Sandusky, right?
Oh, he's the voice of the Ravens.
That stinks. There's the athletic Timberwolves writer whose name is John Krasinski. Not the office. No, different one.
Oh.
The office. Jim from the office is John Krasinski. Not
Ted Kaczynski.
Ted Kaczynski.
That's right.
That one would be tough. Yeah, there are worse ones to have. George Patton.
But
this funny one
works well for him, I bet.
I would bet you've read some books on Patton then, right? You at least saw the movie.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've read several books about Patton. Yeah.
You at least have one giant American flag in your house that you stand in front of if your name's George Patton so you can talk to your kids.
Hilarious. Every time I had to have a serious talk with my kids, I do it in front of a giant American flag. 100%.
Should see the movie. I know you have.
Now we don't cut school. Keep our head on straight. All right. Stay tuned. Scotty G and Hans Olsen coming up next.
Thanks, Sarah.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.